Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we had an old familiar face and a new guy dueling it out at the Valspar in the Snake Pit. We get into all that, plus highlights from the big tours in the world of golf. And it's a race to the altar between two of the best golfers in the world. Plus, what we're tuning into includes a quick TV update, a soccer update, and a fun movie bringing us back as well, too. And this week's guest is former LPGA Tour pro Jihae Lee, who has an awesome background, not only in golf business, but she's got some really great golf music as well, which we're going to play for you, and a new venture to talk about. All of it brought to you by our friends at FlightScope. Promo code is COL10 for the Mevo unit. Bryson uses it. Bubba Watson uses it. It's my go-to. It gets me dialed in. It's a pocket-sized device that gives you the yardages, the swing speed, the information that you need every time you step out onto the course or just to practice in general. So again, it's FlightScope Golf, FlightScopeGolf.com, and the Mevo unit. Promo code is COL10 for 10% off of your Mevo unit today at FlightScopeGolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Groove It Golf, and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, they were just a couple hours away from me down in Tampa, Florida for the Valspar Championship, the most colorful tournament in golf, as I like to say.
Yep, shout out Tracy West, our friend of the show, who put on another great tournament. A fantastic week out there, too. And it was great to see people out there.
There were fans. There was a lot of that. And there was really a runaway between the top two players as they finished, between Keegan Bradley and Sam Burns. Keegan, who just has a very unique style of play, let me say. It just seems like he's using short clubs. Yes. And when he stares down his putts, he's doing it out of like the corner of his eye. It's very weird.
It's quite the glare he gives those putts. And he's been doing that forever, Mike. The fun Keegan Bradley tidbit is I actually have the honor of saying that he actually kicked my butt in the state finals back in 2005 when I was a high school golfer. High school golf team at Hopkinton won the states that year with another PGA Tour pro, John Curran. So we do go way back. My one connection to a relevant PGA Tour golfer these days that I actually saw on the course. It's great connecting with them here. But Keegan back in the limelight. He hadn't won since 2019 at the BMW. A guy that kind of pops his head out, you know, maybe once every two or three years. He's been on tour for a while, but he just doesn't have a lot of great weeks in terms of piling them together. He's either like right at the top of the lead or nowhere near it. So it was just good to see him back in the hunt, because you're right. He's a bit of an enigma. He's a very interesting player to watch, make his way around the golf course.
And it's also just nice to see a player from New England play well, because there don't seem to be that many.
Yes. So. He's a Vermonter. Shout out to Sebastian Pell. He grew up in Northern Vermont there and played at Woodstock. So he's got a lot of New England connections. And it was neat to see him back in contention. Unfortunately, he got beat by a runaway in Sam Burns, the 24-year-old, who was just rolling, and especially in those last six holes after Keegan made the mistake on 13. It was all downhill, and Burns got his emotional first victory.
Yeah, and of course, we probably know Sam Burns best from a few years ago when he made his debut and he beat Tiger in a Sunday round, not to win a tournament, but just beat Tiger. So
right, that was kind of his claim to fame, and really didn't know him for much else. So it's good to see him resurface at a course he's had good success at in the past. It makes sense. It's a great venue. He tamed the Snake Pit, so nice job, and it was great to see the full family out there on the 18th green. That is something that will never get old, Mike. I'm sorry. No. Every Sunday at 5 p.m. when they trot that winner out and they start welling up, I start welling up too. You can set your clock to it. It's a great moment every week on tour.
Yeah, you know, there was a great meme I saw the other day, which was, you know, Stuart Sink family at RBC Heritage, like, we're the best golf family. And now you got Sam Burns family going, hold our beers. We got you.
Some of them out there on the 18th green celebrating. I love that. You love it when the whole crew is together. They knew how big the moment was for him and he came through.
Let's also talk about what was probably one of the best storylines out of the week. And that was all started on Monday with an emotional Monday qualifying.
Yeah, definitely. Got to shout out Michael Vasacki, a.k.a. Big Mike, which I loved. One of the cool things, that I don't know if you noticed this, but they were letting the caddies put whatever they want on their bibs this past week. And so Michael Vasacki's caddy bib just said Big Mike. So that was an awesome look for him walking around the course. And he's a local Florida guy that's been a mini tour pro and out on the Monday Q circuit for years. And he finally broke through one in a playoff to get into his first PGA Tour event. And the core value, shout out to our friends at the First Tee, is honesty, Mike, because this guy was very honest about how much his pro career has been a struggle, and breakthroughs like this and just moments for him to showcase his game at the highest level just mean everything. He was very honest about it.
Yeah, he was certainly emotional, like swept all over social media with him crying on the phone as he called his dad. And being able to play on the PGA Tour, especially in his own backyard, is, you know, that's what makes the game so great, is to see stories like this and see guys who love the game and grind away at it and just get that one shot every once in a while.
And I know you wanted to shout out our mutual friend of ours, speaking of Monday qualifiers, because we had a big announcement come down from the Monday Q Info page as well.
Yeah, it sounds like our guys over there at Monday Q are going to be partnering up with
the Fire Pit Collective.
Yeah, so they're getting this crazy thing. We don't even know what it is. It's called a budget. You ever heard of this, Alex?
Budget. Big word there. That's a big word to handle right there for Ryan, who we've had on in previous episodes, and Neil Johnson as well too. Yep. It's great to see that two man team work in the Monday qualifying circuit. They're going to get to go out to tournaments, document them more. Trips, maybe. Wow, trips. That sounds all fascinating. So shout out to those guys. They've really built an amazing brand. We love having them as friends of the show. Be sure to follow them in their journey in the Fire Pit Collective as well.
Speaking of Monday qualifiers, Joseph Winslow, past guest.
Yes.
Top 25. He's in the event this next week, too.
That's what it's all about. And when we talk about this, the way this works on, you know, a tour like the Korn Ferry below the PGA Tour is you Monday qualify, you shoot that one amazing round, you get to the tournament. But what are you going to do after that tournament week? And the answer is you need to finish in the top 25 of the tournament you get into that week in order to get into the next week's event. Joseph did just that, tied for 16th, 7 under par for the week. So he's driving up from Alabama to Tennessee. So the Joseph Winslow train rolls on. It's good to see our buddy getting it done. And again, you turn these opportunities and you roll one into the next. Mike, we saw a guy named Will Zalatoris do this about a year and a half ago. And look where he is now. So always on the up and up, and excited to see Joseph keep it going.
Yeah, Will Zalatoris, who we'll talk about in a little bit when we talk about this week's event.
That's right.
Took a couple weeks off and got engaged, so congrats to him. He's going to be tying the knot. But really, the other two who are racing to the altar, it seems right now, are Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, dueling wedding dress photos on their respective wives' Instagrams and social accounts. Who's going to get there first?
And Zalatoris, you're going to throw him in there too now. I forgot about him. A lot of engagements on the tour right now. Hot time in the streets to get engaged. I just think it's so funny, Mike, because there's this unspoken, like, DJ and Brooks Koepka rivalry. We once considered them buddies, and then we weren't sure where they stood, and then there were some funny rumor mill stories about what may have happened with that relationship. I just think it's hilarious that DJ's been engaged for years. Brooks has been dating his now fiance Jenna for years, and they're both now going wedding dress shopping at the exact same time. You watch, Mike, they're gunning for the same venue on the same day. It's
they probably are.
I feel like they're gonna have to duke it out to get the wedding venue.
Did you hear the story about some couple that wanted to get married in some mansion and the owner said no, and then they literally showed up and tried to do it anyway?
Wow, they just renegade entered on the wedding.
So I wonder if Brooks and DJ are gonna try to get the same venue, and then they're both gonna show up on the same day at the
same venue.
They're
gonna have to duel it out in the lawn in their suits to see who gets
they're
down the
long drive contest.
Yes, that's right. So the race to the altar on the PGA Tour commences. We'll be sure to update everyone on the engagement plans and see when they set the date.
We're gonna have to check the odds put some money down on this. Let's talk about the LPGA Tour, because they were out in Singapore at the HSBC. And we know, you live in Texas, I live in Georgia on the coast here in Savannah, and we know that 90 degrees feeling like 105 is pretty typical during the summer. I mean, that's kind of what I expect. And they were experiencing that out in Singapore.
Yes, they were. The only reason I bring this up, because it just threw me off, you know, late night, Saturday night, came home from some dinner and a trip to the bar, which was nice to revisit. And I put the golf on from Singapore, and I see that everyone's got a sunbrella out. They're rocking the umbrella. It's perfectly sunny. I'm like, what is going on? So I throw the Weather Channel app up, and sure enough, it's 90 degrees, feels like 105 when they're out there playing. There weren't a lot of sleeves and a lot of sunbrellas. I'm trying to think of that unbelievable humidity I remember from a childhood. It's not as bad here in Texas, but we still get some remnants of it. I know you're right in the throngs of the community, so you know what this feeling is like.
I mean, you step outside and you feel like you got punched in the gut, so.
Yes. So a lot of LPGA Tour players going sleeveless, which is something that you and I can't do on the course, but they can. So shout out to them for going sleeveless and rocking the sunbrillas. A rare sight on the golf course, but when it gets that hot and humid, I don't blame them. They got to do what they got to do.
I mean, that said, we saw some a very low round during the final round. Hyojo Kim, who owns the lowest round ever in a major for either men or women, with a 61 back in 2014 at the Evian Championship.
Yeah.
She went low again, 8 birdies in the final in 11 holes. And ended up taking the win.
You know what? The last few weeks we've been talking about these low scores in the LPGA Tour. They got to move the tees back. These courses are too easy for them. I feel like the winner's 20 something under par every week. We're gonna have to make it tougher for the ladies out there because they've been dominating.
So congrats to Kim for that win. Bogey free 64.
Nice.
It's just you know, there's good golf everywhere going on right now.
Lots of tours.
And, now we're in the midst of it right now. The 2021 PGA Works Collegiate Championship was put on by the PGA Reach Foundation. It's the nonprofit charitable foundation of PGA of America. This is a tournament that's been going on for a while in which they have teams that represent historically Black colleges and universities, Hispanic serving institutions, and other minority serving institutions. And it's taking place right now at TPC Sawgrass.
Love that. Grow the game atmosphere big time on that one. I'm glad the tournament's been around, is staying around. And Sawgrass is right in Tours' backyard where their office is. So it makes sense they have it there.
This is also the premier event for the Howard University team, or I don't know if it's a premier, but it is one of their big events for Howard. That's making their debut with this tournament after Steph Curry made a 6-year commitment to fund the golf program at Howard.
Very cool. So, love that. Nice initiative there from Steph. Obviously, he's a huge endorser of the game, being outside of himself. But neat to hear that they're having that event. It is NCAA season as well, too. Shout out to our Lady Bobcats. So we're going to be following a lot of college golf here in the next month or so.
We are. And, you know, that's what we love. We love seeing the game grow. And that's why we have partnered with the First Tee of Greater Austin, right in your backyard, Alex. And like we said, honesty, core value this week. And it's a great time to give back whatever you can to help this game grow and help provide this game to kids, especially in the greater Austin area.
Definitely. firsttaustin.org is the website, /partners or /donate to check out what we're doing and they're doing to give to them. Look forward to heading out to the campus in the next few weeks to highlight their camps and everything they got going on this summer. But we love the First Tee. Shout out to our friends and shout out to Michael Vasacki one more time for just being real honest about that amazing breakthrough he had this past week at the Valspar.
Let's turn our attention to Quail Hollow, which will be hosting the Wells Fargo Championship after taking a year off last year due to COVID. And that means, once again, we're going to have our eyes on the technical defending champion, Max Homa. He wins golf tournaments instead of just tweeting about them sometimes.
That's right, he does.
And he's trying to become the first golfer to defend at Wells Fargo. He's been playing pretty well. He won the Genesis earlier this year, of course, too. So what do we think his chances are?
Yeah, he paid my electric bill in the month of February. So shout out to Max Homa for that win at 58-1 for us. Our picks will be Wednesday evening. I'm at Course Life 1, and you're at MWRNC. You've been a little hotter than I have recently, but you got to think that Max Homa's got enough momentum and decent play recently to play well at a venue he's won at. He's definitely considered to be on the short list. Again, I hate saying this. It really is becoming a geographic thing. If we're in the Carolinas, we have to mention the name Webb Simpson. We just do. Yeah, it's just kind of a prerequisite at this point. He plays well in this part of the country. He's from this part of the country. So watch out for him. Definitely a name I'm looking at on my list this week.
You know, there's a really loaded field this week, which makes me wonder if Homa can rise to the occasion. No offense, Max. I think you're great. But we have we have the 2017 PGA Championship winner at Quail Hollow, Justin Thomas. Oh, by the way, he's number one in the FedEx Cup standings.
Yep.
Phil Mickelson is coming. Will Zalatoris has a sponsor exemption.
That is so dumb, by the way. We need to just quickly highlight that Will Zalatoris needs a sponsor's exemption right now. He's the 28th ranked golfer in the world, Mike. Yep. What is wrong with the PGA Tour system?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot. Let's get into that some other time. And also Rory McIlroy returning for the first time since the Masters.
Nice.
Bryson DeChambeau will be out there in North Carolina as well. This is a loaded field
and a good track, beautiful mansions. I would say these are some of the nicest course side homes that you'll see all year on the PGA Tour. So look out for those in the background. And I'm looking forward to the coverage this week from Charlotte.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we talk about what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I actually am getting ready to tune into something, and it has a very, very big connection for us because, of course, we bonded in college over our love of the TV show Seinfeld.
Yes.
Hands down, the best TV show of all time. Don't at me, bro, because you're wrong if you think otherwise. I'm watching Jerry Seinfeld's horrific follow-up B-movie this week for my other podcast, 3-Minute Movie Reviews.
Which is just so sad. On the legacy of Jerry Seinfeld.
He knows it was bad, though, right? He knows it was bad.
And this was a movie where I remember this being a big deal because of the timing and what Seinfeld was doing. I was like, wait a second, Jerry Seinfeld's participating in a movie, like on the big screen? Like, I got to be part of this.
And it's animated?
I remember really, yes. And then step two was realizing, oh, it's an animated movie. Okay, all right, I'll still give it a chance. I'm here. I think I went to the theater to see B-movie, to be honest. I don't remember what year it came out, but yes, unfortunately, it did not quite live up to expectations. I remember just trying to love it. I tried so hard. Yeah. And I know you'll give a much more thorough review as well.
Yeah, and surprisingly, I have never seen it. So
wow, a rare moment movie I've seen that you haven't. So you'll click it off soon for us.
Well, what you got? What you tuning into?
The quick sports update. Austin FC, the soccer team. I told you I would lose interest if they went 0-6. No, they haven't. They've kept my interest. They're 2-1, Mike. Good start to the season.
Winning team right there.
That's been fun to watch. But the TV show that I'm into that I need to tell everyone about is Chad on TBS.
I've heard of this one.
Fascinating series, mainly because it's a kind of a high school comedy, drama, documentary type show. Lots of laughs in it. The main character is a high school boy named Chad, who is played by a female actress who is grown and literally dressed to look like a teenager. So the way Chad's delivery and humor comes out is in a very adult-like manner, despite the fact that he is about 13 or 14 on the show. It leads to a lot of funny, awkward scenarios. And Mike, it just brings up so many just awkward high school memories. Just you name them. This kid's been through them all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very good interesting.
Good laugh, loose show, half hour if you want to tune out and just get some cheap laughs. Enjoy Chad on TBS.
There we go. Let's get into this week's guest. Alex, you got to chat with Jihae Lee, former pro on the LPGA Tour with a background working for Topgolf and making some really great golf music from quarantine as well. We know we're into that. And got a new venture with Sportsbox.
That's right. Sportsbox AI, a really cool company that Jihae is the CEO of. Again, I didn't want to go at her too hard for her Yale background. I let up easy on that because she's got so much else going on in her life besides that. Amazing history in golf business. She talks about her time on tour, Sportsbox, and the fantastic tune. She's got a great voice. And we're going to highlight that as well, too, for everyone. So looking forward to this conversation. Everyone enjoy Jihae Lee.
But first, as always, we want to let you know that this interview is brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, makers of the Phone Caddy. The Desert Fox team is based out in Arizona, so they know golf, and the Phone Caddy is crafted by both golfers and engineers. The Phone Caddy is unique because it mounts right onto your golf cart in seconds in a place where you can actually see and use your phone. Keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy from Desert Fox. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model and quickly becomes the talk of your foursome. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a Phone Caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to desertfoxgolf.com to get your Phone Caddy, and don't forget to use promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at desertfoxgolf.com.
Next up on the tee, we have a former LPGA Tour player who has a very creative catalog of both golf music and a very cool current venture in Sportsbox AI as well, which we're going to get into. It's Jihei Lee joining the Course of Life. Jihei, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Alex. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Let's get into your background because we actually come from surprisingly similar backgrounds, despite the fact you did grow up in Korea as well, too. You actually moved to where I grew up, which was in Massachusetts at a young age. I'm just curious, as a kid growing up, talk to me about like the differences in living in Korea versus Massachusetts, both just from a life perspective and maybe for golf as well.
Yeah, I mean, I moved to the States when I was 12, lived in California really briefly in middle school, and then moved to Massachusetts for high school. So it was a bit of a culture shock. I had to learn English, learn how to make friends in a different culture completely. That was actually acquired skill. It's not, even though, you know, as a kid, I had no problem making friends. I realized and learned when I came here that there were different ways to get to know people, make yourself, you know, interesting and interesting enough to people around you to befriend them. So that was a skill that I had to teach myself. So high school was in Massachusetts.
Nice.
Went to boarding school out there.
As far as the relationship building as well and whatnot, English for yourself, is that something, had you learned any English in school in Korea, or had you just learned it when you moved over at 12? And what was that kind of learning curve like for you?
No, I started learning English when I moved to the States. So in sixth grade, and you know, I was in the ESL program, English as a second language program that everybody has to go through if English isn't your first language. And after a year of that, I fully graduated from that program and I was in normal school from there on.
Very cool. Let's talk about the school that you went to collegiately. We actually went to college right down the road from each other. There is a bit of a rivalry now when it comes to hockey. I'm talking about Yale versus Quinnipiac, where myself and my co-host went as well too. You were a Yale Bulldog. Tell me about your time in New Haven. And you had a little bit of an interesting story regarding your involvement in the game of golf there in Yale as well.
Yeah, I started at Yale in 2002, and I played there on the Yale women's golf team, which was a lot of fun. But I realized that I was spending 3-4 nights a week away at golf tournaments when I was trying to also balance getting an education and doing on-campus activities. I wanted to go abroad to China. And I just decided in the end that, you know, golf will always be there if I wanted to get back to it. I wanted to prioritize other things that I could only get while in college. So I actually quit the team and did other things while at Yale and got back to it my senior spring when I had already had a job and, you know, had finished my credits and all that stuff. So it was a jam-packed 4 years at Yale.
Very cool. It's kind of like a little bit of like a mini season there packed in at the end of your college career. Nice way to kind of close the loop on that.
Yeah, and ended up racking up two Ivy League championships while I was there. So
it's cool how kind of golf has fallen in and out of your life. I'm curious, like in that time in college when you dropped the game, what was it specifically that maybe brought you back to give it one more go senior year?
Honestly, it was the friends, the girls who were on the team were having a lot of fun and curiosity too. I was thinking, hey, you know, I stepped away for a while. I didn't even touch my clubs for 2.5 years after my freshman year. But I was curious about, you know, oh, do I still have it? Is it something that I can get back into? And luckily, you know, my game was mostly intact. And again, we went on to win the Ivy League championships that year, which was a bonus. So it was curiosity and friendships.
Nice. Very cool that you got back to it senior year. And then from there, you did play the Futures Tour, which is the Symetra Tour, which we know very well, which is definitely the funnel for a lot of LPGA Tour pros. But tell us a little bit about Q School, because I know you had a fantastic Q School that helped get you out onto the LPGA Tour. We've highlighted different Q School stories, and everyone seems to have an amazing one. I'm curious what that first experience was like for you when you got through Q School to the LPGA.
Yeah, my first time at Q School Finals, so that was 2008 December in Daytona Beach. So this was back when it was still in Daytona at LPG International. And of course, as always, the weather was horrendous for most of the week. The first day I went out there, zero expectations. I was just happy to be there because honestly, there are so many strong competitors in that field that week, including Michelle Wee and Amy Yang and Chella Choi, like all these girls, and Stacey Lewis, like these phenomenal. Might be the strongest Q school field like ever in the history of the LPGA tour. But yeah, it was a crazy week and I didn't have any expectations, but I went out there and shot 68 the first day, which was, by the way, the lowest score I had ever shot in a competitive event. And I came from such mediocre amateur golf background. It was laughable that I was even playing in that event at that time, but somehow I hung in there. I think I was 6 under going into the final day, the fifth day. And it was the worst weather day of the entire week. It was 45, 50 degrees, blowing like 20, 25 miles per hour. So bad that my friend, Sunny O, who I was playing with in that group that day, she, on the first hole, put 2 in the water off the tee. Because the wind was so hard into, and I had to watch that before I stepped up and hit my first shot of the day. I bailed out so far right. I think I had 3 wood into that green. Usually it's like a, you know, driver, maybe 7 iron hole, dogleg left. I bailed out far right and hit 3 wood into the green. I kind of plodded along, made a chip in, which kind of got things going, ended up shooting 2 under with a close, you know, I almost holed out on the last hole with my 7 iron. It was an incredible way to finish. And my caddy turned around and she was like, "Welcome to the LPGA Tour." It was all very dramatic and emotional. And to top it all off, my father, who had traveled to Korea to be there for the whole week, the poor man, he was in like a light windbreaker the entire time because he was expecting tropical Florida weather. He walked every hole with me, and at the end he was right there, and I, you know, he's usually very stoic, but I could see in his face, like, he was just like fully emotional, like so proud. I couldn't even believe that had happened. And so it was a great week.
That's elation for sure on his face. And I'm glad that he was a trooper being out there. God, those weather conditions, that sounds like a nice, like, November, December day in Massachusetts there. I'm impressed you put up with that. That's a really cool story. And in terms of kind of being out on the LPGA Tour, the years you were out there, I'm curious because now we're really seeing the onslaught of all those players that were in kind of your generation, and they've grown into the stars that they are now. And ladies golf is just absolutely thriving since kind of you were out there on tour. What was the vibe like for you, and what were some of your favorite memories being out on tour?
Yeah, my timing wasn't great. I don't know if you remember, but 2009, which was my rookie year, was, right after the financial crisis, or I guess in the thick of trying to get out of the financial crisis.
I was graduating school and trying to find a job right when that happened.
Exactly. So the LPGA Tour unfortunately lost a bunch of sponsors, title sponsors to events, and I think with my full status, I had 17 events that I could play in, which is insane. Given that number is probably like 30 to 35 now, you know? Yeah. So it was a tough year. But I was just happy to be out there. As I said, like, I felt like I had, earned something that I wasn't supposed to have. So I was just happy to be out there. And again, to be with my friend, Michelle. We were rookies the same year and we played a lot of practice rounds together, and it was just so much fun. Obviously there are some lows because, you know, like, your entire self-worth is dependent on what number you shoot out there that day. And it's a tough way to be, but I had a ton of fun.
That's so cool. Yeah, let's talk about Michelle. Michelle, we obviously are talking about, and your friendship with her goes way back to your early days, and you mentioned Q school as well. What was that kind of like? I know once you stopped playing, you had an opportunity to kind of travel a little bit more with her, work kind of on her team as well too, and kind of see her growth and travel the world with who we know now as an icon in the game of golf. Talk to me about that experience specifically, kind of stepping aside and being alongside your friend Michelle for that ride.
Yeah. I mean, when we became friends, she was still underage. Wow. Right. She's like, hey, can we go to parties? I'm like, Michelle, you're underage. We can't go drinking. I got to see her grow up and, you know, go to college and thrive as a young adult and now fully grown adult with a child. It's truly been, honestly, an honor to see her grow up and become who she is. I really admire her as a friend and as a fan, for what she's accomplished, not just in golf, but in life. It's been a lot of fun. I get to work with her for about a year and a half on our management team at IMG Golf. And it was a cool place to be because, I mean, there was and is no bigger name than Michelle Wee in the world of golf and especially in women's golf, and interfacing with her sponsors, which included, you know, Nike and Omega and Kia, like these global brands. It was a great point of view and a vantage point to learn the business side of sports from.
How about Michelle kind of balancing all that throughout your time with her? What struck you the most about how she was able to kind of juggle everything going on in her life while you was working for her?
Yeah, I think it was important for her to have that balance, to have, a route or a touch point outside of golf. You know, things like art, right? Like she's super creative. She was painting. She had a studio in her house in Florida where she could do all of the creative stuff. I think that, like, I really admired her for being intentional about how she balanced the things she cared about in life.
That's awesome. It's so cool to see her come full circle and now following her. I'm like, wow, Michelle Wee's a mom. She's back out on the LPGA tour. It's like, that is just, it's so cool to see things go full circle with her now.
Yeah. And, you know, we belong to the same club in San Francisco at Lake Merced. And she is, I mean, Kenna's not even a year old. And I've seen, she's been out there almost every afternoon, Kenna in a stroller and her carrying her own bag, playing nine holes in the afternoon just to squeeze that practice time in to get ready for the season. Like, that's dedication right there.
That is so awesome. Yeah. I love hearing those stories about Michelle, and especially that she's just a relentless mom that's still out there working on the course. And I bet you it's not too long until Kenna starts picking up a club as well too.
That's
a crazy guess, but
yeah, that's a pretty safe guess.
Let's talk about the cool things you've done in business as well too, after your career in golf. I know everyone here knows we've had different guests from Top Golf on the podcast in the past. And I know you had a fantastic run with them. For people who don't know, give everyone a little bit of behind the scenes of your time there, what you got to do with the Top Golf tour and your impact on that company. Cause it's a great, great company. And it's a favorite spot of mine and a lot of our listeners as well.
Yeah. Top Golf. I got so lucky coming out of business school to have met Eric Anderson and some of the senior leadership there. I wasn't familiar with Topgolf, right? I met them and I got to see, like, I got to visit them, saw the venue. And my first time there, I think I brought like my own set of clubs. I had a golf glove and I was wearing my golf shoes.
Like, do that. That's the thing that happens the first time around. Yeah.
Yeah. And on a Friday night, I felt like an absolute clown. And I looked around, it was incredible to see the kinds of people, the mix of people who were there and the kinds of, kind of conversations that were happening. It was incredible. Like people on dates, like family outings or bachelor parties, like it was all going on. And I was like, this is a amazing company, especially for the growth of the game. I have to do something with them. So luckily I got a job at a time when it was still relatively small. I think about 130, 140 people in the corporate office in Dallas and only, quote unquote, 14 venues in the US and no other kind of side businesses, tech or media kind of verticals that they had later developed. So at the time, you know, they gave me just a blank piece of paper to write down my own job description and said, okay, I want to be on the strategy side of things. I want to be part of, you know, executive level conversations about the direction of the company. So that's what I did for the first couple of years. And then as we developed different arms under that umbrella of Topgolf Entertainment group through acquisitions like World Golf Tour and Top Chaser, and partnerships with companies like Full Swing Golf. I joined those kind of smaller divisions because I think, kind of looking back, I think I've always had an entrepreneurial lean, and I've always wanted to be part of building or creating something new. So
nice.
I got to work in every one of those divisions, Swing Suite, Top Chaser, and Top Golf Media. And last year, 2020, I was part of the Top Chaser team working for the president there, Ben Sharp, and then Sportsbox.
So cool. And yeah, Top Chaser is that technology that we see when we're watching golf on TV all the time, showing us where the ball is. Couldn't watch it broadcast without it these days. So very cool to see your impact, not only with that company, but everything at Top Golf as well too. That company's flourishing. Another company that's going to be flourishing that I want to talk about is your entrepreneurial spirit and Sportsbox AI as well too. So your CEO, tell me about the background in Sportsbox AI, what the goal is of Sportsbox and how everything came to be.
Yeah, I'll start with the goal, kind of long-term mission for the company. We want to make accurate 3D and motion analysis available to all athletes and instructors in every sport. And we believe that to get better at any sport or fitness, you know, endeavor, you need accurate 3D measurement of how your body is moving. Mm. So that's what we do. We're a computer vision and sports company that's using some pretty sophisticated AI technology to take a single 2D video taken from any mobile device and turn it into full 3D information that we use to create 3D avatar renderings that can be seen from all different angles, including, you know, whether it's down the line or face on or above or below, and real time gather hundreds of different biomechanical measurements, such as, you know, shoulder turn or, torso bend or tilt or how fast their hands are moving.
Things no one would ever think to calculate on their own. Yeah.
Things that you need to calculate in order to really understand what's going on. We're measuring all those things with just a single video taken from one angle.
Wow. Very cool. And so let's talk about, I'm sure you guys are doing it with several different sports, but specifically for golf swings. Tell me what Sportsbox offers and that technology for the average golfer in their golf swing. You mentioned all the different measurements as well too, but the idea of 3D, it seems like something for the average person seems like, oh, that's a novelty, or I need a lot of money or a lot of resources to get access to that data. But tell me how you guys are going to make it easier for the average golfer to get access to.
Yeah, it's a great question. And the user experience for the average golfer is going to be, you set up a phone either, you know, on the ground propped up by a head cover or a tripod, or having somebody, you know, point the camera at you. And you can take a swing or multiple swings. We'll create an analysis and interpret all of the 3D data in the back end and give you top two or three things that you need to work on in order to improve and optimize your game. And it's not going to be based on here are the 1,000 things wrong with your swing based on a comparison between you and Rory McIlroy. It's going to be, this is when you perform your best. This is your ideal swing personalized to you. And here is a roadmap for you to get there, which is very different from the standard method of instruction, which is based on how to make your swing prettier.
Yeah, definitely. I remember watching tapes as a kid and they would show me swings of tour pros next to mine. Like, that's great, but I'm not them. So
exactly. How is this supposed to help me?
Love that.
And another thing that's really important for those who aren't familiar with 3D information in golf, I think the biggest difference is that, and what I've learned in the last 6 months or so, is 2D video-based instruction is incredibly misleading in some ways. So, for example, I thought I knew a lot about the golf swing after the thousands of hours of golf lessons I've taken. So I had this one thing, which is to shallow my downswing as like my objective in fixing my golf swing or try to get it better. So I would have a video set up the down the line angle, and I kept trying to get my shaft to get in that slot. You know what slot I'm talking about, right?
The evolution slot, yep.
Yeah, and I looked perfectly shallow, perfect angle, you know, that I've dreamt of. But I was hitting the ball so horribly. And what I realized was I was artificially, so like just cosmetically getting my shaft angle to be shallower by bending my torso to my right on the way down, instead of staying on top and shallowing the club the true way. So, but with the 2D video, it wasn't picking up any of that information. It looks great with that video. So that's where 2D information can be really misleading and really limiting. And we want to make sure that we're providing full set of information for the average golfers and instructors to base their decision on.
So cool. Again, it's Sportsbox AI, sportsbox.ai, if you want to check out more and everything that GA and the company are doing. I love that venture. I'm definitely going to be following in the near future. One other thing I want to talk about, which we have to get to on your social media as well too, on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you're seen, is that you have a very creative catalog of golf-themed music, which I want to touch on because there's a few really cool songs you've done. I want to shout out a past guest of the podcast as well, Tiffany Joe, who I know you did a little collaboration with. One of the songs you did was Hit Some Bombs, which is a cover of Wrecking Ball. Just tell me your favorite memory or thought from recording that with Tiffany.
That's so funny. It was a true pandemic project. You know, I have a sister who's extremely talented. She got her master's degree at Juilliard for piano performance. Like, that was her thing, right? And she's incredibly talented. I had never played the piano, but
wow.
I made it a mission last year to learn a few songs so that I could perform. So this is pre-March, right? Like, this is before pandemic. Like, I was got like, it. Look, my goal this year is to perform in a open mic of some sort. It could be a dive bar, it could be a neighborhood, whatever. Like, I just want to do it. And I need to not just karaoke, but I need to play an instrument to make myself legit. Yeah. So I bought a, you know, keyboard on Amazon. I think it was like $100, and I started practicing. And then, you know, pandemic hit, and it was funny. I started posting some things, and I, like, before I stopped playing golf, Tiff Joe and I've been friends for a long time, and she was already doing these kind of parody songs that she was recording and making music videos for. So I knew that that was her jam. So I reached out to her. I was like, hey, should we do something together? And of course, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going on the LPG schedule at the time, and it was perfect timing for us to do something together. And it was honestly the output was great. The product was great. It was a lot of fun, and a lot of people said it resonated with them, but it was an amazing way to reconnect with her. That was really awesome.
Love that. Another one I got to shout out is Demi Lovato, Anyone. You covered that wonderfully and reworked it and called it 81. That I really feel that as someone who is like a 5 or 6 handicap, constantly trying to shoot in the 70s, that 81 is such a frustrating score for me because I leave so much out there. I'm curious, how did that come together? And are you a big Demi Lovato fan at all, or just like the song?
By the way, the way that you described your frustration, that's exactly like, I'm a 5 handicap now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like a 4.6 index or something. And I go out there and I play at Merced, which is a tough course.
Right.
And I keep shooting like 81.
Just having the 7 in front versus the 8 is just a world of difference for
You like start counting your score in the back nine. You're like, oh shit, I'm 5 over 6. Oh no, I'm going to shoot 81 again.
I'm running out of bogeys to make. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite pastimes is looking up audition videos for like American Idol or America's Talent on YouTube. And this one contestant sang that song really, really beautifully on American Idol, most recent season of American Idol audition. So I was like, wow, that's a really cool song. I hadn't heard that before. And I looked it up and, you know, I was like, I got to try to sing it. It sounds really difficult, but I love Demi Lovato and I need to sing it. So I put its words and it worked out.
Awesome. One other thing I do want to suggest along the music line as well too. We had another great golf music guest on previously. His name was Sam Harrop. He's over across the pond, but he's made some amazing covers for different golfers of all likes, LPGA, PGA, and like. Yeah. I think maybe a collaboration is in the works. I'm going to introduce the two of you to each other, and I think you guys could put something together pretty special.
That would be awesome. I'm a fan.
Nice. Again, it's GADA on IG, and then it's sportsbox.ai as well. Let's finish with our 19th hole question. At the end of a long day, when you play Merced, you finish 18, you get into the clubhouse. What's your favorite thing to have in terms of like a meal and a drink at the end of a round?
Well, first of all, I don't play 18 anymore.
Just nine.
I play nine or maybe 14 sometimes if I'm super motivated.
Love that.
And second, our club has the most phenomenal like food menu ever. Shout out to the whole team. I love having their breakfast burrito. It's the best breakfast burrito I've ever had in my entire life.
Nice. That's a good energy stuffer right before you get out on the course. I appreciate that answer. Nice. Again, it's Jihei Lee joining. Thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life. Looking forward to everything that you're doing with your adventure in Sports Box and everything else with the golf music content. Keep the songs coming. All right.
I will. Thanks so much, Alex.
That interview with Jihei Lee is brought to you by our friends at Groove It Golf, makers of the Groove It Golf Brush. You've seen it on the bag of tour caddies and your favorite athletes and golf personalities on social media, and it's the brush to get for the 2021 golf season. This brush's patent and pump sprays water or cleaning solution right on the club face for you, making it quick and efficient to clean clubs or even your ball in seconds. The Groove It brush includes a detachable magnet so you can bring the brush to the club head. And the Groove It brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. That means if you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, and I doubt you'll be able to do that, send it back and Groove It will get you a free replacement. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groove It, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com to get your Groove It brush with free shipping in the U.S. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com to get your Groove It brush today. And that was 81 from Jihei Lee. Great voice there. Just got great singing voice, good tunes going on there. And I would kill to shoot an 81.
Yes, I know you would. We were commiserating over that number since we're both in the same territory. It's a tricky score for the 70s golfers out there, but I love the spin that she put on the Demi Lovato song, 81, mm-hmm. flipping it to 81. Very creative there. And glad everyone got to hear that. Be sure to check her IGTV out for the rest of her music as well, too. We sent out a clip on Instagram of a clip she did with our previous guest, Tiff. Tiffany Joe. She did a collaboration as well. Another collaboration, though, I need to speak out into existence, is Sam Harrop. We need to get the two of them together. That's going to be gold. I want to debut the song here. I'm basically like an A&R for the golf music industry right now, getting the stars together. That's the plan.
There we go. We'll do it.
Yeah. Should be a great collaboration. I'm looking forward to that track.
It'd be great. If you want to see that collaboration, then what you need to do is subscribe to this podcast on every single podcast app that you have on your phone.
Yes.
You need to give us 5 stars on every single podcast app you have on your phone. You need to leave a positive review. You need to share this episode with all of your friends. And if you don't like this show and you don't want to hear a song between these two golfing musicians, then
you always come to a tough conclusion on the consequences. Very demanding of you, though.
I have these grand ideas of what I could say, and then I get at the end and I realize I didn't actually think of the consequences. So
love you for it. It's okay.
I'll think of one eventually.
let's get to some football talk, because I've been dying to get to this here.
Let's talk about the NFL. Let's talk about my New York Football Giants, because they had a good draft.
Seems that way. They're getting decent grades. They did. Yeah. And they started doing exactly what last week's guest said they would, Cole Thompson. He said they might trade down, and sure enough, they're sitting there at the 11th pick, and then all of a sudden the trade came through. I was waiting there at 15, seeing if we're going to get a quarterback, and I see the Giants trade the pick to the Bears. The Bears move up to get Justin Fields, so you guys move back to 20. Like, you got a playmaker in Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver from Florida. He's lightning quick. You're going to be like throwing pitch plays in the backfield and reverses to him, and you're just giving him the ball and letting him run. So that should be fun to see this year for you.
You know, if there's one thing the Giants are good at, it's drafting wide receivers.
Yeah, honestly, he's like an Odell in the way he can move with the ball, you know, after catch, but also in the backfield too. There's a lot of opportunities there for the Giants and Toney. So get excited about that pick.
I'm excited to see the Giants have another losing season.
Yeah, go 5-11, but with lots of highlights from Kadarius Toney, though.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. ESPN top play every day. Let's talk, though, about your Patriots, because they did something that caught everyone off guard.
Unbelievable. I'm stunned. We played through all of the scenarios last week as to what they could do. And I just been kind of jokingly, it was a wet dream that they'd actually take a quarterback in the first round of the draft. And oh my God, Mac Jones, the quarterback from Alabama, sitting there at 15, and Bill Belichick pulled the trigger and picked a quarterback when we needed one. Very, just stunned. I'm at a loss for words, honestly.
Congrats. You drafted a quarterback.
We did. So that will be a fun training camp between him and Cam Newton duking it out. I hope he can take Cam Newton's job real quick there, and we can get Mac Jones back in the pocket soon. But I did notice something you'll appreciate. Mac Jones not only went to Topgolf the night before the draft for his pre-draft activity, but he was spotted playing Madden the day after the draft. He was the Patriots playing against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Maybe a little preview of what we're going to see in November at Gillette Stadium could be a fun-filled matchup coming up with Mac Jones versus Tom Brady, speaking into the future there.
And just a reminder for you for what you get to look forward to with Tom Brady is that the entire Tampa Bay Bucks are coming back this year.
Yes.
The players, all the coaches.
I look forward to that. And people, in case you forgot, Tom Brady and the Bucks won the Super Bowl 7 now he's at. Yeah. So that actually happened. So looking forward to what this football gossip brings for the rest of the offseason. But yeah, the Patriots, they did it. We got a quarterback.
Let's talk real briefly about another quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, because man, this story blew up all week.
On draft day. How savage of Aaron Rodgers on the morning of draft day to be like, oh, by the way, Packers, I don't want to come back. Just have fun with the draft too. Enjoy that now that you know that. So a lot of drama with Aaron Rodgers there. Is my wife keeps trying to talk this into existence, Mike. Is he just done? Are we just going Jeopardy full time? Is that the move here?
No, because I know he did a good job hosting Jeopardy, but my money's still on LeVar Burton.
Yes, there you go. So I'm curious to see what happens with that job. He said it's only 46 days a year, so he could do both. I'm curious to see where he ends up landing, or do they smooth this over? Is there any chance they smooth this over and you see him back in Green Bay? It feels unlikely at this point.
I don't think so at this point. He said he won't come back to Green Bay unless the general manager is fired, and that's probably not happening.
Just so. Asking for heads to roll, basically.
Yeah. Such a mess. Let's hashtag always have food.
Yes. Shout out to our friends, Toasty Bites and Toasty Snacks. We love them. And we love you guys using promo code COL20 for 20% off. I'm hearing we're getting a new shipment soon. So I'm very excited about that. Going to get to try the rest of the flavors. I love peanut, dark chocolate, and almond blueberry. Great snacks for golfers and anyone out there just looking to have a good, healthy snack and stay in shape. Let's start with a food that just does not travel well, that it was good to have in person, Mike.
Yeah.
There's a big, big window between ordering sushi for takeout, which we've been doing the past year, and going to the restaurant, eating it right there. We had sushi in a restaurant this past weekend, and we even got the sushi boat. That's how many we ordered. And there's a real big difference between sushi at a restaurant and takeout. That's all I have to say. Huh.
I mean, have you ever had gas station sushi?
Yes, I have. I regret trying it, but I'm glad to say that I did once.
Okay. Well, you know the very possible worst you could have then.
That's right. It could be a lot worse than that. Shout out to Ichiban. It was good to have nice, fresh sushi back at a restaurant again.
Meanwhile, for me, it's getting to be watermelon season again. So that means it's time to just go hog wild crazy and eat a whole watermelon in like a day.
The official fruit of summer grilling and barbecues.
Yep. Have you ever grilled a watermelon? You ever had grilled watermelon?
I have tried that before. It's very tricky and you have to get it just at the right time. Yeah. It's a nice kind of char as well. It's an interesting flavor for people who haven't experienced it yet. Worth a try. Easy to do. Yeah, it's very harmless if you're cutting up an entire one while you're at it this weekend or for Memorial Day. So I like to play around with that. The problem with watermelon is just a really short shelf life in the fridge. You got to get after it in the first few days or else you're done for.
How long is your watermelon sitting in the fridge, Alex?
Yeah, I know. Too long, I guess. But
I have a friend who can eat a whole like 10-pound watermelon in a day.
Oh, man. That sounds like a challenge. Love
that. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, shout out to watermelon being back in our life. That does mean it's summer and warm weather is here. So hopefully everyone is enjoying that as well, too. Thanks again for everyone tuning in to this week's Course of Life. Looking forward to another great podcast next week, and we will see you then.